The following program may not be suitable for some listeners. Parental discretion is advised.
Welcome to Transcending the Unknown with your host, Kevin Malone.
I don't know. I think I may need to get some like new intro music or something. That just kind of like really creeps me out, man. You know, makes you kind of want to go like hide under the covers and all that kind of stuff. But hey, anyway, welcome to another episode of Transcending the Unknown. I am your host, Zach Glickman. I'm sorry, Kevin Malone. Great to be here again. I won't apologize for the last 2 weeks, but I will apologize for the first in the 2 weeks. I was sick. I was like really, I was in pretty bad shape, kids. You know, and then the week after that, well, you know, we had some weather problems and other such things. But since Chris ain't here at this particular second, I will blame him because, hey, if you can have a scapegoat, why not? But we are here live this week. We are here live on this Monday. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're all here. And I have a great guest tonight. His name is Rick Wade. And that's W-A-I-D, not W-A-D-E, as some people might normally seem to kind of gravitate towards. But he is a seer. That is spelled S-E-E-R. Now, some people might say, well, isn't that the same thing as a psychic, Kevin? I don't know. Is it? Let's ask the man himself, because who should know better than he? Rick Wade, how are you doing, brother?
Hey, how you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing great, man, and thank you again for being on the show, man. It's an honor to have you on. It really is.
Well, I really appreciate it. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Well, hey, my pleasure. It's kind of what the show's all about, you know. When you and I talked on the phone briefly earlier today, it was just, you know, the show's about kind of exploring all the possibilities, you know, since I'm one of those people, since I'm kind of a science-based guy more than anything else, I'm one of those people I don't think anybody can say, you know, any of us has absolute proof of the paranormal, because we just don't. I mean, since we can't really prove beyond a shadow of a doubt what it is, right? You know, it doesn't mean we're not on the same path. It doesn't mean that some of us are on the right ideals. But, you know, I mean, I had a friend one time said that until you can, like, catch a ghost in a mayonnaise jar or something like that, you know, then everything else is subjective. And to me, from a scientific point of view, that would certainly fit into that. You know, although, even though I'm kind of a science-based guy, I'm not, you know, my personal belief, I believe that when this body, this shell that we inhabit, ceases to be, that life in whatever manner it does goes on in some way, shape, or form. You know, whether it's in a parallel universe, another dimension, whatever it is, heaven, hell, you know, that, you know, it's not the end. And,
sure.
I think that's something I think all of us in the paranormal share. Certainly there's people who have certain faith-based beliefs. I don't know where you fall into in that category. Where do you fall into in that category?
Well, you know, honestly, I honestly feel that whenever we pass on, that we are actually in a holding cell for a little while. Until it seems like there's like a waiting list, and then once you wait for a certain period of time, then you go on to another universe, I believe, another place, another time, a different place. Yes. So, and the thing is, what's interesting about it is, you know, the things that I feel that, like, say, for instance, you died of a heart attack, okay, or let's say you died, you say you were crippled and you died crippled. Well, you're still in that holding cell in that same situation until it's time to move on. And when it's time to move on, then you're a new person. You don't have, you know, you're not a cripple anymore. It's different. Yeah. It's like you're instantly healed and you're moving on.
I like that. I heard a, I can't remember the person's name now, or I would give them credit. But a paranormal investigator who apparently at least claimed to be a very good with EVP. And, you know, because oftentimes I don't know how much EVP stuff you listen to, but I've always been puzzled by the fact that I don't hear more people asking, is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Is God real? Those kind of questions. You really don't hear that often, you know. And the ones that I do hear them ask and they get some kind of answer that they're claiming they get, I'm kind of suspect of it. But anyway, I've heard a lot of times it being described as a series of levels or, you know, when you first cross over, you're on this level. It's kind of like, okay, you're back in school, so to speak, because you got to go over the life you lived in this plane and see where you screwed up or where you did good or whatever the case may be, you know, and then you steadily build up from there. And then, you know, I'm a believer in reincarnation. I happen to be one of those people. I believe I'm a very, very old soul. Been here many, many times, you know. But, I think it's a choice that we get to come back. And I think that's what I've heard more often than not, that it's a personal decision. Do you want to do it, for one, you know, which kind of makes sense to me.
Another thing, what I believe too, I think, you know, while you're in this holding cell, you're actually taken and shown other people's lives. I feel that is what happens. Almost like, you know, the Christmas, you know, whenever the ghosts from Christmas past and stuff came and took him to future past.
Yeah.
I think that's what happens to us when we pass. We have that same thing happen. We have to go and we have to see so many people's lives before we can move on and understand what everybody's going through. It's like a training or a teaching. You have to learn or pass before you can move on to the next level. It's really
maybe even our own.
Yeah.
You know, because that's an experience I had, because I've been dead twice, you know, and
what happened to you when you died?
Well, I mean, you know, I didn't see Jesus or any of that kind of stuff. I had a brief interaction with a family member who had passed on, and they told me that I was being given a second chance and not to screw it up. I won't use the exact terminology, but I think people can understand where I'm going, you know.
Right.
And
sure.
I was immediately thrust into a situation where I saw every bad thing I'd ever done to anyone, whether someone I cared about or someone I didn't care about. You know, and when that was over, which seemed like a matter of nanoseconds, and then I was allowed to feel all the pain I'd ever caused in my life. And that was the last memory I had.
And that's exactly what I was saying, you know, about other people watching other people and feeling their situation.
Yeah.
And the same thing whenever I was younger, you know, I was like 9 years old and I went swimming and I drowned. I mean, I can't remember how I got back on the bank, but I was clay sides and I was just going under. And I actually saw every bit of my life. Boom, 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 boom. Just like really fast. It was like really fast. Just little dinky clips.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. So I think I was actually, I was actually dying there, but somebody or something actually picked me up and put me on land and nobody was around. I just woke up and there I was. So it was amazing. So I don't know what happened, but I'll tell you what, somebody saved me.
The day it happened to me, I couldn't, you know, I ended up going to my doctor's office first. I have no memory of it whatsoever. I don't remember cracking my skull in his office, falling on the floor. I don't remember any of this. I don't remember getting to the ER and my organs shutting down and my heart. I don't remember nothing. I just remembered waking up like 5 days, you know, well, actually 7 days later, you know, after being on life support for almost a week and, you know, being told, you know, hey, this is what state you're in. I, I don't remember at any point being strapped down or having my arms and legs strapped down my head, but I can remember waking up at some point and noticing the television was on in my room and being able to turn my head just enough to see my father sitting in the chair next to me, who had already been dead for 3 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, whenever I get really stressed out in my life, whenever, you know, things are really hard for me, either my father or my grandmother on my mother's side will come to me in a dream. And it's always in the same house, in the same room. It's just like this beyond realistic looking, beyond surreal scene, you know. And it's just, I don't know. I could be wrong, but, you know, my heart tells me it's real. You know,
right.
I totally believe that it is.
Well, you know, I believe, check this out, you know, I believe, you know, before I started doing all kinds of different things like past lives and EVPs and stuff, you know, I was I was able to lay down in a bed and actually kind of doze out in a just like a light sleep. And I actually could go places. I could actually go back in time and see places, look around and see names of places and dates and stuff. Then I would come back, and I'm telling you, I'm not a great history guy, you know, but I would come back and I would look this stuff up, and I'd be darned if it wasn't there. So it was like I was going back in all these different places and times, and I got addicted to it. I would lay down in my bed, come home and lay down and sit there for like 20
like
minutes.
Like astral projection.
Right? Yeah, it was really cool, but
okay,
I wasn't leaving.
No, I did a lot of the same kind of stuff. You know. It kind of begs the question: when did your abilities start, or when did you become aware of them? Was it before your near death experience, or after, or you know, when did you start feeling
way
so
after.
Different? Way after.
Well, I was
okay,
in my 30s,
so cool.
And go ahead.
It was in your 30s when it happened.
Yes, when I started actually connecting with energies and spirits.
Okay, cool. So what, does your thing you feel might have brought this on, or just something all of a sudden one day it started happening?
Well, see, my mom was a reader her whole life. You know, she was a reader. She could read people with
mm-hmm.
coffee cups
okay.
and grounds. So she had this
okay.
ability. We have Cherokee in the family. My ancestors are Cherokee. So my brother has a gift. He could read people in spoons. He could actually read the flickering of lights. And my sister could hold objects and actually read the object where it's been. So, you know, I have that in the family. But, you know, I never really paid attention to it. And then later on, and what I used to do is have nightmares every day. I mean, every day I would have nightmares from a young child. My mom would actually smack me in the head with the Bible and say, "Get out of there, demon." Because she thought it was an actual demon, but I was having night terrors back when I was a very young kid. And I had those
mm-hmm.
night terrors all the way up to my mid-30s. And then I started watching the Ghost Hunter show. And I said to myself, you know, this looks really interesting. So that's when I went out and started doing experiencing ghost hunting. And things just started happening for me. You know, doors were open for me. Lights were turning on and off for me. I was hearing noises and voices. And pretty soon I got really addicted with EVPs. I mean, we're talking 30 EVPs a minute. That's what I was getting. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It's taking over my life, man. So that's what happened, man. And I'll tell you what. Then all of a sudden, it just seemed like, you know, I was on an amazing journey. It's like I would go and I would step on the first step. And I'd have to do so much, put so much time and energy in that first phase or that first stage. And then I'd have to go to the second step. And I had to put so much time on that second step. And that's how it was. And I kept climbing and kept climbing. But I had to put so much time. You know, I couldn't do past life readings or I couldn't do past loved one readings. I could only remote view when I first started. It's like God was giving me so much ability. Like he was allowing me to only do so much. You know, practice that, get really good at it. And then move on to the next level. And that's what I was doing. And I'll tell you what, it's just been crazy, a crazy, crazy journey. And it seems like I just keep growing and keep growing and keep growing. But it started in my 30s. And what I was saying about my dreams, you know, I used to have nightmares all the time. Once I had that first
mm-hmm.
paranormal experience,
yeah.
No more nightmares. No more nightmares. See? And what it was.
I can't go that far and say that myself. But yeah, I get you.
Yeah, but see, but the thing is, I kept seeing all these energies and stuff around me in my dreams, and
right.
I would wake up half asleep, half awake, and I thought they were actually demons growing up, but actually they were just spirits and trying to connect with me, saying, "Listen, man, wake up. Wake up. You have an ability here to communicate with us," and I just didn't understand it, and it did not click until I got into the paranormal. Then, boom, I stopped having all those sleepwalking and talking in my sleep. It's crazy, man. They didn't need that. They didn't have to do it anymore in my dreams. They can actually talk to me now, communicate.
Yeah.
Normal.
It's weird. I didn't find out until like maybe, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, somewhere in that area, that I was an empath. When I got first asked about it, I had no idea what the hell the person was talking about. You know, I'd heard psychic before. I'd never heard the term empath. Didn't know. No clue.
Mm-hmm.
And this friend had sent me a questionnaire. It was, 25, 29 traits of an empath kind of a thing. Can't remember the exact number.
Sure.
But I got all but two of them. And it was like, after taking that test, it was like all the pieces of the puzzle fell into place. You know, it was like all of a sudden everything made sense, growing up feeling like I was insane. Because, you know, even times I was a little kid, I could be at a party and be having the time of my life, having a great time. And all of a sudden, I'd have to go run off and hide someplace and cry my eyes out because I was so sad. And I didn't know why. You know, and I grew up most of my life thinking I was nuts. And it was like, after taking that test, it was like, oh my goodness. You know, all the pieces fell into place. And a lot of my life makes sense now, whereas most of it never did, you know.
Right.
You know, it's kind of the thing. Now, I know you said you had an experience yourself. So, I mean, did you see God or what you thought was God? Because that's what we always hear.
No.
You know?
Never saw nothing. All I did was see my light flash before my eyes, and that was it.
Okay, do you basically like me? Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know angels or anything come and pull me out or anything. I don't know.
I'm not discounting those people. You know, because, you know, I mean, I usually tell people up front, you know, look, I'm an atheist. I don't know if that's the best term for me or not, but I don't like agnostic. You know, I usually, when somebody asks me about it, it's kind of like, you know, I don't believe in any of man's gods, but I believe there's, to me, it's more of it's an energy. It's a universal energy. I don't see it as being an entity, you know. And I could be wrong. I mean, the Christian God could be real. The Muslim God, I don't know, you know. But I know there's something out there far beyond what I can comprehend, you know.
Well,
let me
explain something to you. You know, when I first started doing remote viewing. You know, I was just getting, you know, just objects in people's houses and stuff, you know. And then I would watch people read past loved ones. I would watch them read their pictures. I'm like, man, how are they doing it? I would actually try it, you know, make an effort. And I just could not connect with any of the pictures, could not connect with any of the names. I was not ready for it. You know, it's just like I was not, you know, I didn't know enough or I didn't understand enough or comprehend enough about what was going on or what I was receiving, the message I was receiving. I kept getting all the wrong information. And I'm telling you, it's just like, I honestly pray to God. And I pray to God every day. And I would pray to God 10, 15, 20 times a day, asking God to help me to understand and connect with past loved ones. And it took me a long, long time. And then pretty soon it just clicked and boom, I connected with one past loved one. And from that point on, I connected with all past loved ones. It's like I had to work hard and keep doing my remote viewing until I actually opened up enough, until I believe God said, okay, well, he's ready for the next step. And then he gave me the opportunity for the next step. And the same thing with past lives. I couldn't do any past lives. I had to work so hard at these other things before I could move on to my next level. And it was interesting. And then honestly, before all that was the EVPs, I was really crazy about that, and I was having tons of them. I almost lost my job and everything over it. But, you know, God actually told me, listen, you basically have to, you know, he didn't really tell me, but, you know, I'm hearing it, you know, in my mind. He's basically saying, listen, you need to stop doing this. Stop doing this, because angels were sent my way to get me to stop doing the EVPs. And I'm telling you, in my first book, I talk about how an angel came to me and offered a brochure and told me, stopped doing what I'm doing and gave me a brochure about God. And it was amazing. He didn't know me from nowhere. But, you know, I've always had angels come into my life and actually steer me in the right direction. And that's what was happening with me. And then pretty soon, I'm telling you, it's like I had to work so hard. And it took me years to get where I'm at today. Most people come out and they start reading and they start doing stuff. And they have, you know, they just don't have the experience and time and energy in it to actually receive the correct messages that's being given. And sometimes they're off on their readings. And that's why some people are off, because they're inexperienced and they haven't done a lot. I've done over 5,000 readings. So, you know, I've learned all that, you know, what's coming to me. And when I first started, it was like 10 or 15 voices coming to me. It was crazy. I was getting all kinds of voices coming to me. Pretty soon it got down to 5, and pretty soon it got down to 2. Now it's only one voice that comes to me. I only hear one energy voice, one or two. So, because
Let's take it from there. You know, it's. I mean, look, let's not kid around with each other. We both know there are people out there who are less than honest. Okay.
Right.
Now, you and I did speak on the phone before the show earlier today, and I told you I will not ask you to name names or to be negative towards anyone else in the field, be they paranormal investigator, be they self-proclaimed psychic, seer, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't do that to you, because you're one of those people. I've got other friends in the field who just, for whatever reasons, they don't want to say anything negative about anyone else. And I
right.
totally get that. I respect that. That's fine. I'm not one of those people, but I'm also not the kind of guy that's going to, you know, I generally try not to trash anyone, but you
right.
know, as a psychic, as a seer yourself, and I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt that everything you tell me tonight is the gospel truth for you. So
right,
but we know there's people who don't have those morals. There are people
right.
out there who feed on the grief and misery of others.
Right,
and without asking you to name names, I think we both can agree that at least some of the people that we see on television are not on the up and up.
Well, I know that for a fact, you know, and I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
Believe me, I know for a fact. I've actually done research on people. And the thing
sure.
is, you know, there's still some out right now that, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, I tell everybody, you know, please do not, if you're learning, you're feeling, you're connecting, do not go out and start charging people. You need to learn, understand, and just receive the right messages so you can give the right messages back. If
sure,
you don't,
sure.
you're going to hurt yourself and you're going to hurt the person that you're reading. And that's what it is. A lot of people are just jumping in and they think it's money. Let's go do this. Boom, boom, boom. And that's
oh, yeah.
what they're all about. Money, 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 money. And I'll tell you what,
there was
honestly,
a certain one.
I read,
yeah, go ahead. Please.
Well, I read
oh,
over 5,000 people before I started charging. 5,000 people before I started charging. So that's exactly
well, you
what
know,
it was.
I've said a lot of negative things in my podcasting career about self-proclaimed psychics. It's never been that I don't believe. I most absolutely do believe there are true psychics. There are people, you know, I'm an empath. So, I mean, I have a connection. My fiance Laura is an empath. So we have a connection beyond what the average person has that we pick up these energies. But, I mean, there's people that are even more tuned into it than we are. You know, those
mm-hmm.
are people I call psychics, you know. So I know that these people exist in this world. I know they're real. But the problem is the average person who has no knowledge of the paranormal or any of this stuff, the average person, what little they do know is they picked up by watching whichever network they're watching at the time. You know, and you can watch Spook Chasers,
right,
Spook Hunters. Yeah, and you know, the Island Psychic and all these people. And what bothers me the most is, and you know, I'm a self-confessed troll. For many years, I was a merciless troll on the internet, on YouTube, you name it. When I saw what I thought was fraud or hoaxing in the paranormal, I was an unforgiving God on a rant. I went after people. And I don't know, you know, it's kind of like after my death thing and everything and getting with my fiance, I think I realized at some point that that wasn't really the way I needed to go. And, you know, if I was really wanting to educate people and get through to them, that, you know, I needed to not be such an ass about it. So I kind of stopped that, you know, but it's just, I tried to make people understand, look, if I offended you before, I'm sorry. It was never, it's never been my goal to offend or insult anyone. It's just that I just wanted people to feel the same passion I feel for the paranormal. I mean, if I'm not a religious man. I don't believe in any faith that anyone aspires to, you know. I'm just me, and I don't know if anything's sacred to me, it's music and the paranormal, you know, because I've had experiences in my life, and I know and I believe in what I've seen and what I've felt and heard. And, you know, when I see these people that you see on these TV shows out making millions of dollars, you know, I've often told the story about my second wife, who was a huge fan of John Edward and Crossing Over. And her and her stepmom would watch the show, and I said to her, come on, it's cold reading, you know. And again, I'll say it again tonight, kids, cold reading, Google it, because that's
well,
how you spot the face.
I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you about cold readings. Okay, what?
Please do.
Can you explain to people what cold readings are? When I first started this, a lot of people, the more scientific people that were in these forums, mm-hmm. always said I was cold reading. But I want you to explain to people what cold reading is. What
well,
is cold
reading is obvious. Cold reading, once you understand what it is, it's pretty obvious. It's fishing for answers. Now, if you go on, just say you get on YouTube and you pull up an episode of Crossing Over or Teresa Caputo or any of these people, and you can find the videos out there. And what the videos will show you is the show before it gets edited. Because when mm-hmm. you watch the shows, you'll see the person go, oh, well, I'm being drawn over here, and it's an R name, and they'll run off Robert, Roberta, Renee, and they run this gamut of names until somebody goes, well, I got an Uncle Ronnie. Oh, okay, it's you. And cold reading basically is you kind of start giving the fraudulent psychic information without realizing you're doing it. And it sounds so simplistic that, you know, you think, well, no, I couldn't be fooled that easily. Yes, you can. But if you look at anybody who I think has any kind of legitimacy as a real psychic, you'll see, no, that's not what they're doing. Cold reading only works up to a certain point. You know, you need a TV show for cold reading to really be effective. You know, I saw one where they did an interview with a guy who had, I won't say what psychic it was, did an interview with this guy after he had this private reading with this psychic for like 15, 20 minutes. And, okay, how many times did the psychic ask you something that was wrong, that didn't make any sense to you? And the guy goes, oh, I don't know, 5 or 6. It was actually 25 times, but that's just a deception. Okay. You know, well, because a fraudulent psychic will use right. deception like a magician does, you know, sleight of hand. It's to draw you away. When I watch the psychics that I believe is real, I don't see that. Do you think anywhere?
Let me explain to you how this – I wanted my journey to be different than the average person. See, going
sure.
through all these forums and watching all these people, that scientific people that actually studied my readings and watched my readings and actually helped me after a while. They helped me to further my education and understand what I was doing. But what I wanted to do, even back when I first started, all I took was a fake name off the forum. Like, say it was Betsy Lou and she had a cartoon character. And that's all I had. I didn't have her real name or nothing.
Right.
And then I would actually read her, okay, not knowing her name, not having her picture, nothing. All of my readings, 99% of my readings are done on a computer, and I don't know the person's name. Back in the days, I didn't know their name or nothing, but I was still making all these connections, okay? Now, another thing that's important is whenever I do readings now, when I have people call in on radio shows, what I do is I take a bunch of names, I put it in a hat, And then I'll take the name, I'll pull the name out, I will read that person's past loved one or that person or their past life. And I don't even communicate with them at all. I read it out loud on the air on Facebook, and I don't have them nowhere in front of me. So I can't pick up what they look like, what they're acting like, how they talk, what they're wearing. No, I have none of that. So see, that's why, you know, and whenever I do all my readings, I never let anybody talk during my session of giving information. I have to give everything that comes to me first before they're allowed to say anything or respond. And that's where you get the difference from an astral reader says, well, give me a yes or no. Okay, is this right or this is wrong? No. You need to offer all your information is being given to you, and then they're allowed to come and actually respond to what the information was given to them. And that's how
exactly.
I do it. I never fish. Because
yeah,
I
like that.
Fish. And that's
well, sure.
how I never, yeah. And even whenever I do it in person, I'm different than other people. I'll go in a crowd of people, and I'll just go out there and I'll say, listen, who wants a reading? And the lady in the corner wants a reading, or the lady in the front. She said, I want a reading. I said, well, what kind of reading do you want? She'll say, well, I want you to connect with my grandma. And then I'll just start connecting with grandma. See, I won't have this. Well, you know, no, there's a gentleman coming in. Oh, no, there I see a dog coming in. No, I will connect with. I usually ask for a first name. So if it's like Tom, then I'll start connecting with Tom, and I'll start getting Tom's information, the way he lived his life when he was alive, the special moments they had together. That's what I see. That's why I call myself a seer, because I'm seeing things in their life. And she knows, only she knows certain things that I'm going to be offering. That's where it gets them. You know what I mean? And I can go right to
yeah,
the next person.
Oh yeah.
Okay, how do you want me to help you? How do you want me to help you? I don't do that. I don't do anything like that while I'm getting an R name or a B name. No. I go right to the person. Whatever you want, you ask me, then I start connecting. That's how it is. So it's a big difference.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely there is, because the people that I'm referring to, that's pretty much what they do. You know, and I've always found it interesting that supposedly at one point in time, the spirits can tell you all this stuff that only you and the person who passed on could possibly know. And yet the rest of the time, they can't even tell you their damn name, man. You know?
Right.
You know? And it just gets so comical because, you know, I've seen the videos where, you know, the unedited part of the show, you know, where these guys, this guy and this chick and stuff, you know, they get 98% of the stuff wrong. Sure. Or,
yes.
You know,
and
there was the, what's his name,
I've
the TV preacher, Peter Popov, you know, who's been caught multiple times wearing an earpiece where his wife or somebody, you know, off stage will tell him, oh, yeah, you need to talk about Bob Robertson, you know, Delphi, Indiana, who has bad kidneys, you know, and tell him why Jesus is healing him, you know. I mean, I've watched this clown heal hundreds of thousands of people in a row. Yeah, it's just, and it never ends. And, you know, I'm one of those people, I mean, like I said, I'm an atheist, but I really hope there is a Christian God. I really do. You know, I hope God and Satan's real because, you know, man, if anybody deserves to go to hell, it's you know, it's some of these TV preachers and stuff. There should be a special place for them. You know, I'm not saying they need to burn anymore, but there just should be something for them.
Well, you know, yeah, I've seen a lot in my lifetime, you know what I mean? But, you know, like I said, but with people nowadays, it seems like more and more people are opening up, more and more people are understanding. And I tell you what, I test people. I will actually post pictures, just random pictures that I find on the internet that they won't know anything about. And I'll just put the picture on. I won't say a name and stuff. And I'll just actually wait and let people actually try this stuff and actually see how they connect. And, man, I'm telling you, some people are really so good, they will actually pick up things like I'll post a picture of a building, man. They will pick up the street name, the city, what happened to the person, how they died, pick up their names, picked up that the lady was pregnant when she died. And the guy shot her. I mean, we're talking, I do direct connects. That's whenever I do my readings, they're called direct connects. I directly connect with the situation of a building or place or person. And that's what I call myself a direct connect reader. So, and that's what it is, man. There's some people out there are very, very talented, and they do it over and over and over and over. But at the same time, they have this negative attitude about life that kind of ruins the whole thing. You know, it kind of like takes away all that ability that I'm seeing, and then they're like cussing and they're like treating other people terrible, but they have this wonderful gift. But see, they can't.
I've been told that about myself.
Okay, you know? I'm picking something up, brother.
No, I get that. I totally get that, man. Because you know, I can't remember who it was, but I'm a huge fan of comedian Joe Rogan. I don't know if you know who that is. Okay,
I've heard of him before.
Yeah, he's a well-known comedian, MMA fighter, and kind of guy. He's got one of the most popular podcasts in the world right now, but. He had on a guest one time that his personal belief was that everyone on this earth, everyone living on this earth, everyone who's ever lived on this earth and died, everyone who's ever going to live, you know, that we're all connected. And that every living creature on this planet is connected. You know, we're connected right now. You and I are connected. Yeah, there's wires connecting you and I right at this very moment. There's past lives connecting us. There's future lives connecting us. You know,
that's how I do all my reading. See, I actually plug in. I actually take an outlet connected to my body, and there's a universe out here. All I do is actually, as soon as the person wants me to start reading them, I go in and plug into their information. Same as their past lives.
But you're scaring the crap out of people right now. You realize that, don't you? You are scaring people to death. Well,
why?
I mean, come on, look, dude. I'm 56. I know you're close to my age. We are children of the 70s, okay?
Right.
So you and I both know about certain substances and all the books involved.
Oh,
yeah. But, I mean, hey, I'm not knocking that stuff. I'm a firm believer in it, and I believe in these connections to the gods or the cosmos or whatever you want to call it. But now you're starting to scare people because now you're starting to get into this area where, okay – maybe it's something beyond some book that you were taught to believe in when you were a kid. And maybe there's something more to it than just that.
What is scaring people? It's scaring a lot of people because, you know, I have a lot of people come to me and they always think it's a negative, that I'm a negative, you know, I'm an actual demon or I'm a bad person.
No, it's not a negative.
They're saying, that's what they're thinking because, you know, they feel that the Bible says, you know, there should be no more seers, there should be no more psychics. But honestly, it talks about seers in the Bible a lot. It talks about psychics a lot
in
the Bible.
Yes, it does.
And I think, you know, a lot of the Bible was actually taken out. I mean, if you do the history on the Bible, a lot of the Bible was taken out. A lot of spirituality was taken out of the Bible. So
I agree with you.
I think that's exactly what it is. And the thing is, you know, I think people are actually, it's almost to a point where I just heard on the radio today, people, you know, some of the churches, back in the days, they used to scare the kids so bad, scare Jesus in them. Jesus in them. You know what I mean?
Well, you're
and
supposed to be afraid
father,
of God.
Yeah.
He's
my
God
father,
of love, but fear him.
My stepfather, you know, my stepfather was a preacher. And I'll tell you what, when he got the Holy Spirit in him, man, I'm telling you, whenever other people got the Holy Spirit in them, you know, I'm telling you, if you come to church, you're going to be listening. You will not turn your head. You will respect. You will listen. And I'm telling you, and that's what happened growing up as a kid, you know. They put fear in you. You better do this. You better do this. Or you're going to go to hell. Or you're going to go to hell.
Dude.
Everything was you're going to go to hell. You know what I mean?
I grew up in Church of Christ. I know exactly what you mean. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You're a little offshoot of the Pentecostal church. I know all about that fire and brimstone stuff. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's,
yeah. So
that's
see,
scary
that's exactly
stuff
what,
when you're a kid.
And it is scary, you know, and everybody was scared to death to go this path, and you have to go this path, or if you go off this path, you're going to burn in hell.
When you talk about things being left out, so I'm assuming you're familiar with the Lost Books of Eden, the Lost Books of the Bible, those books that were purposely left out of anything that we people who consider ourselves Christians would recognize as part of the Bible.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you're knowledgeable of these things.
Well, I'm knowledgeable about certain things, not a lot of it. But I am knowledgeable
but you
enough
know
to know. Yeah,
you know there's
no
things
enough
in there that would take the average Christian and really anger them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would anger them. Personally, and I'm not going to go into detail on tonight, people. What I'm basically doing is I'm trying to maybe set up a future show that we can do together, my friend, and talk about
sure.
this, because I don't see it as a bad thing. Basically,
you know,
what I'm talking about, folks, are for those who don't know that what the average person who claims to calls himself a Christian, and you know, unless you're a Catholic, you're basically following the King James Version of the Bible. That's what most people who say they're Christians go by, King James Version. And what most people don't understand is, and my guest will back me up on this, is that there were, you know, when the Bible was put together, there were certain things that were purposely left out. For whatever reason, they were left out. And there's always been a big question among people who are theologians and followers of the faith of Christianity that, you know, we know that in the Bible, as we, most of us know it, that we had Christ's birth and up to a certain point in his childhood. And then all of a sudden, Jesus just kind of disappears. And we don't see or hear from Jesus again till he's in his 30s when he pops up again. So there's always been that big question about, where was Christ at? What was he doing during all these years? Now, these books that come from these same, Dead Sea Scrolls and the books that we, you know, that we get the Bible as we know it today, there's these other books that talk about those times, supposedly up to. And it's offensive to some people of the faith. It's understandable of some people who are the faith. It makes a lot of sense to people like me who are not of the faith, but it gives me a better understanding, and I'm appreciative of that. So where do you see it?
Well, you know, honestly, it's really sad because, you know, I honestly hide because I actually live in an actual area where it's, you know, it's like the number one in the Guinness Book of Records, the most churches on one street. So, you know, it's amazing. I mean, I do this. I've been doing this for 8 years. And, you know, I don't actually go to church. I do pray to God. I pray to God every day, but I don't go to church. But everybody else around me goes to church in this neighborhood. But, you know, the thing is about it, what I do is not bad. Is not evil. I put tons of hours helping people in situations where nobody else is helping them. I give them positive information to move on in their life. You know, for instance, I did this for this young girl. This young lady came onto one of my posts and she said, well, can you read my dad? So I read her dad. She said, well, can you connect with? So I said, yeah. So she gave me a picture of a 3-year-old child. So I looked at the 3-year-old child and I saw everything was happening with that child. I saw how the child passed and everything. And the woman was really shocked because, you know, she's staying in her house. She's in shock. She can't get a job. She can't work. She can't do nothing. She don't eat right. She's really depressed. She's having a rough time. So I told her, I said, listen, if you want to know for a fact that this is coming from your daughter, then go ahead and write down 5 things on a piece of paper that you do for your daughter that only she would know if she was around you. So she wrote down a number 3 line. She wrote down that she makes 3 hearts in the shower every morning for each year of her daughter's age before she was actually taken from her. So I told her, I said, well, you know, I'm seeing that you write 3 hearts in the shower each year for your daughter's age. And that changed this woman. That changed her. She honestly got back from me 6 months later. She got a job. She's moving on with her life. She's not depressed anymore. She has a new look on life. Now, come on. How can that be anything negative? How can that be anything bad? It's very positive, and it's very touching and very emotional and very beautiful to actually help somebody to be able to move on from the pain that they have deep inside.
Well, I consider myself a relatively sane, rational human being, so I don't see where that's a bad thing. But again, I mean, we're, you know, going back into people of the faith, you know, who take everything that's in that particular book, you know, is unbreakable.
And
you know,
unbreakable,
they'll sit there and tell you, well, there's no such thing as ghosts. Well, that's not what it says in your book. Yes, there is. There are ghosts.
Right.
But yes, it does say that to communicate with them is blaspheming, and the guy with the pointy tail and stuff's going to come get you, and all that.
Right.
You know, so, you know, and again, when we talk about the books we were talking about before, I mean, you know, anytime you come up with anything that's going to cause doubt upon the holy word, but we don't want to consider the fact that, okay, you know, look, I'm not a Christian. I'm basically an atheist, but I'll say, okay, you know, I mean, come on, I'm not stupid. I know that there is actual true history in that book. I know history. I've read it, and I've read it in the book. I know there's truth in the book. So, you know, I may not buy into the guy with the beard and, you know, parting the seas and the building the boat and getting swallowed by the whale and all that. But, okay, hey, Christ, is it possible this guy was real? Absolutely it's possible, you know. So I have to look at it as, well, okay, I mean, I look at it this way, you know, when Christ came along, the way I see it is he said, okay, look, you know, you've got the old book here, the Old Testament, and he's saying, forget about all that, except for the Ten Commandments, you know, because that's got the 10 main rules we want to run by, and that's cool, we'll keep that, but I'm the new way, I'm the new word, and my word is love, my word is caring about each other and loving each other, my word's not about going out and genocide and all that stuff, you know.
Right.
I'm the Prince of Peace. I'm all about love. And I think the people that ran the church and still run the churches to this day, they don't want to let go of that. You know, I think they kind of like the idea that, hey, maybe there's these certain people out there we need to go slay. You know, we won't come right out and say it right now, but, you know, we won't say slay, but maybe we'll say, they need to be silenced, you know.
Well, they need to, and the thing is, you know, that's the thing about, you know, you're not supposed to, you know, downplay other people like that, you know. God don't want you to do
no,
that.
You shouldn't.
God don't want
you
to treat bad, you know. No, you shouldn't come and you know, I get people just make a post about me all the time, saying mean things, you know. And I'm like, okay,
sure.
Well, you know, I don't. You know, I didn't do anything wrong to you, but they just want to do that to try to cut me down from doing what I'm doing.
No, I hear you, brother.
You know?
I totally
really
hear
sad,
you, man.
Because, that's really sad.
It
you
is.
Know, like I said, I'm offering as much. And the thing is, if you put the time I put in helping people, if you take 5,000 readings and you times that times 45 minutes, you know, I've given a lot of time to the world, you know, to try to, A, help them, A, help myself. It's not just about helping them. It's about helping myself to grow and understand what was going on with me. You know what I mean? So
doesn't seem to matter, though, does it?
Adventure. No. No. But it's interesting,
it
though. Yeah, you know, no matter what I do, you know, if I was to go out and read 10 million people and give them the most amazing things in their life and change their whole world and change their whole life,
it would matter.
People would still come by and just hate me to death.
Sure.
They wouldn't.
Sure. You know, I mean, I come out and say the things I say, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm kind of blunt at times, you know, but I mean, I don't think I ever really come across as being hateful and, you know, and as much as I, you know, as I'm not a man of faith, you know, I don't think that people that believe in whatever God you believe in, whether it's Buddha or Muhammad or Jesus or whoever, I don't think you're stupid because you do and I don't. I mean, that's you know, that's the arrogant thing about a lot of today's atheists. They think that, you know, just because they don't believe in something that is, I don't know, maybe all of a sudden it's their goal in life, it's their driving need in life to destroy religion in every form it comes in. And I don't understand that. You know, I don't care that you share my beliefs or not. I don't look down upon you for not. I don't, you know, if you believe in Jesus and God or Muhammad, I don't care. I don't look at you as being less intelligent than me. And I think that in a lot of ways, that's where our problem comes from. One of the problems I face as an atheist is that I will often get confronted by people saying, well, oh, you don't believe in God, therefore you don't believe in law or morals. Like, what?
I know. Like, they'll just bring stuff
where did that come
out
from,
of, you know? Oh, I know. It's crazy. Crazy.
I almost crapped myself the first time I heard that one. It's like, oh, so you believe murder and rape should be legal? Yeah, right. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's crazy out there, man. And that's the thing with people nowadays, you know, they're always persecuting everybody else, you know. They're always, like I said, being mean to them and downplaying them. But then they say they're a great Christian. So if you're a great Christian, you know, you're not going to go and you're not going to be mean to all these people. You just, that's just not a real Christian. Sorry. You know, I try my best not to be mean to anybody. And if I am mean,
I can disagree with
inside.
You. Yeah, I mean, I can disagree with you from now till doomsday, but there's a chef that I just love named Anthony Bourdain, and I love to use his quote. He said that I don't have to agree with you in order to like or respect you. I don't. To me, that really sums it up more than anything else.
I
think that, you know, regardless of our differences in our beliefs, whether it be religious beliefs or philosophical, which to me is the same thing, you know, I think when you sit down with someone, and especially if you share a meal with them, and you're sitting there, you're eating food together, and you're talking, I think that's when you start to discover that you're really more alike than you ever thought possible. And when you're sharing meal with someone and talking with them, it makes it a lot harder to hate that person. And I think if we could do a little more of that, we would be better off. It doesn't matter that you're a Christian and I'm not, or you aren't and I am, or whatever. It's just that, well, hey, look, hey, we both agree you shouldn't murder people. Hey, there's one thing in common, okay? We start finding out we have all these things in common, that people all around the world, regardless of their faith and stuff, well, we love our children. We love our families. We want our families and our kids to have a better life than we did. And we want freedom. And, you know, you start finding out we're all pretty much the same pieces of crap.
Well, I actually enjoy the way you talk. I actually enjoy the way you put
that
information, man. It's very.
I like the way you talk, too.
It's very, I mean, it's nice to, you know, I mean, I can actually understand where you're coming from, you know. I mean, I can feel what you're offering there, you know. And I'm sure a lot of people out there can do the same thing, you know. We are all
human
beings.
I'd like to think so.
We are here just to be good. We don't have to be mean. We don't have to be trash people. We don't have to be ugly to people, you know. You know, and you know, I like I said, if I don't disagree with somebody else, like a medium or something, you know, I've seen a lot of mediums that are downplaying and not doing what I feel that, you know, they're not trained at it or they're not doing it. But I'm not sitting here being mean and saying their name and trashing them all over the internet. I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? That's not my job to do that. So, you know, they just go on, they go on their way, but I'm not going to go there and say mean things and hateful things. But honestly, I won't be around them. So I will actually explain to them, I don't, you know, honestly, I feel that
I used to.
You know, you're not giving yourself time. You're not giving yourself time. You're not listening correctly, and you're not actually doing this for the right reason. I give them, you know, information. But then as soon as I do that, they come at me tenfold, man, and it's over. And I'm pretty sure I have to block them. Because, you know,
I try real hard not being that guy anymore, although I was for many years. Under another name I won't mention, for many years I had hit podcasts, you know, and the one I did by myself under that certain name, I mean, you know, my reputation was being an asshole, you know, and a brutal one. At the time I never felt like I was doing harm. I felt like I was telling people the truth. But, you know,
but
it gets into a long, unsavory story. I was more negative than it ever was positive. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest about it. It really, looking back on it now, it was. But, you know, now. But at the same time, you know, I mean, hell, you know, I'm a human being. Look, I get angry like anyone else does, and I see what I see as injustice and unfairness, whether it's in politics or everyday life or whatever it is. You know, I don't like to see my fellow human beings suffering. I don't like to see my fellow human beings hurting because, you know, it's weird. You know, I had all these abilities and an empath when I didn't know I was one. And after I discovered what I was and I had my near-death thing, the power of it just became a thousandfold. And it just became, it's, you know, I don't know, maybe you've heard of people saying, oh, you know, when I found out I was an empath, it's just such a gift. What a gift. Bullshit. Not in my life, man. In my life, being an empath is more of a curse than anything else. Because
it hurts, brother. It hurts, man. I work so hard
at blocking myself and cleansing myself and trying to shield myself, and none of it works, man. Doesn't matter what I do, it doesn't work. It just gets worse, you know.
Well,
and
you know,
I know. Well, I mean, you tell me. Have I been given this? Is this really a gift?
Well, let me explain.
Or is it what I make of it?
Okay. Let me explain to you
sure.
about empaths. Okay, first of all, in my ability or my gift or whatever you want to call it, I have an on and off switch. I can go into a ton of people and not feel nothing. Only until they actually come to me and communicate with me and ask me to read them or connect with them. I won't feel nothing. I can go anywhere. So I've learned to do this over time to actually be able to have that on and off switch. That's what we have to learn as an empath. We have to be able to control it. If we don't, it's going to ruin us. It's going to actually hurt us. It's going to make our body really be exhausted all day long. You have to learn how to actually turn that switch off and enjoy life. If you don't, you're going to be miserable all day.
If someone could show me where that switch is, man, I'll adapt that puppy quick. Because,
you know,
I mean, I need to shut it off most of the time.
And the thing is, I don't know if everybody can do that. I just know that happened to me. Same with readings. I can go anywhere, and I won't connect with nobody. I can go into a restaurant, and I don't feel anything off nobody. I won't read nobody. I don't know anything about anybody. They're just people. Until they come to me and say, Rick, can you read me? That's
how
it works.
Let me add something to this. My fiance is an empath as well. And she certainly can feel the negative stuff, as well as positive. For me, it just seems like the negative is what is just always drawn to me. And I don't have the luxury of getting to go someplace out in public and picking up on all the happy puppy dogs and rainbow tails energies of other people. I don't get that. You know,
right.
I'm going to pick up on the person who wants to die. That's what I get.
Wow.
You know, and when I'm in a place that's paranormally active, it's the negative stuff that just glues itself to me. You know, I don't get to feel the happy spirit. I get the one
that's
pissed off.
That's weird. I'm just the opposite of you. I am just the opposite of you. I get positive energy whenever I go out to do things.
I hate you even more now.
Crazy.
I hope you know this.
I know. You've been saying you hate me all day, man. About my look, about my age.
Yeah.
And now you're hating me about my ability.
I'm just being facetious, of course, but, you know. It sucks, man, because it's the positive stuff never, you know, gloms onto me. It's always the negative. You know, I would go to parties when I was a kid and just have to go run off and hide and cry my eyes out because I was so sad. I never picked up on happiness, you know.
Wow.
And I, like I said, you know, early on, I just grew up thinking I was nuts. You know, I may be. You know, who knows? You know, but... I'm hoping I'm not. Okay.
But you know, it's just funny though, you know, like a lot of people say to me that, you know, that they're constantly, they can't go anywhere because of the, you know, they feel this or they can't,
it's hard.
You know, they're connecting with their, all these other people's energies and stuff. They can't even go to their grocery store and stuff. And I'm saying to myself, boy, I tell you, I go out there and I don't feel nothing. And the thing is, I had to do that with my job because I was actually losing. I almost lost my job a couple of times because I was seeing, connecting with energies and spirits and feeling down and drained and exhausted when I went to these people's house because they were all sick in the house or their mom had passed away with, you know, with lung cancer or something, you know. I was feeling all that stuff, and pretty soon I was making mistakes left and right, and I was losing money. So for some reason, somehow I had to straighten it out, man. And then, boom, I wasn't hearing the voices anymore. I wasn't seeing activity in houses anymore, and I was there to do my job and then get out. And that's how
for me, watching TV is hard. I mean, even movies I used to enjoy, because I'm a horror guy, you know. I mean, I'm a kid of the 60s and 70s. I grew up on horror movies. When I was a kid, I didn't give a damn about Spider-Man and Batman. I could care less. You know, I was all into the monsters. Yeah, famous monsters of Filmland, Vampirella. That was my scene. So that's what I grew up with. And then it was like, you know, once everything came out that I was an empath and everything, and I started, I guess, maybe tuning in more to that, it's like I can't even watch a lot of the stuff I used to watch because it's so – dude, I can't even watch The Color Purple anymore. The Elephant Man is so emotionally traumatic for me.
I cry all day long.
I blubber like a little bitch.
I'm the same way. I can watch cartoons. I'm telling you. My wife says to me, I'm a blubbering idiot. Because I cry at everything we watch, brother. And that's how it is. We feel it. Even though it's not real, we're still feeling it, man. We're feeling it.
No, I watch American Pickers and cry. I mean, what the hell? American Pickers, come on.
I watch cartoons, man. I watch cartoons, and I'm telling you, I'm in tears, man, over the cartoons.
No, dude,
I
start crying watching Squidbillies or Robot Chicken, I'm in trouble. I'm just telling you.
Let me tell you something. I made a post on Facebook the other day, and this one guy came in and said something really nice about, you know, about me helping people and actually trying to actually prove that there's actually, you know, there's another place in time, you know, there's another world, you know, or where there's another, you know, where our spirits are, you know, that I'm actually helping people to understand things. And I tell you what, I cried for 2 hours over that one message that he wrote, man. I cried 2 hours. I couldn't even hardly do my job. Oh my goodness, it was tearing me up. I actually had
no,
to just
no, I
go
know exactly
and
what
breathe,
you mean,
man.
Man.
It was rough. Oh man,
I can remember going to see my first fight. We went to see the Elephant Man, and in the next three theaters over from us, they were showing Neil Diamond's The Jazz Singer. I know you remember that.
Oh yeah,
and I mean, I lost it. I lost it so many times watching that film, and then a few years later, I watched The Color Purple, and I was just a blubbering idiot, you know? And like, come on, I'm a guy, man. I'm a man.
I'm a man.
I'm a manly man who does manly things while watching manly stuff with other manly men. I'm manly, you know? And here I am, you know? And it screws with you because, you know, if you grew up in the 70s, you grew up believing that certain things a real man does not do. A real man doesn't wear certain colors, right? Real man doesn't wear certain clothing. And a real man certainly does not cry. You know? Okay. You know, you got what's the story with the Brian's song? Okay.
Oh yeah. You know? Oh yeah.
But the two football guys, you can cry then. Okay. But that's it. We get all this stuff laid on us that, you know, I grew up with my father was this hardcore welder, blue collar dude, man, that, you know, real men don't cry, only pussies do that, and all the stuff that went with that in the 70s, you know. And so, you know, I mean, I grew up watching my father when he got a couple of bad teeth. He came home with a half pint of Jack Daniels. He drank that and got a pair of pliers and pulled two of his own teeth. Okay.
Oh,
I saw my father do this on several occasions. This is no lie, boys and girls. Okay. When your dad pulls his own damn teeth with pliers, you cannot cry.
Oh my goodness. I say no.
You're screwed forever, man. You know?
Oh, that's funny.
But hey, Rick, it's about that time for the end of the show. And, hey, man, would you be willing to be on again?
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, well, I'd love to have you on. There's so much more we can talk about.
And another thing, you know, if you ever want me to come on and do readings too, you know, I love reading people, man, so they can call in.
Well,
I'll tell you what, let's call in too.
Let's set that up some way where we can set it up enough in advance, because I know a lot of times with podcasting, in my previous experience, a lot of the times you get most of your listeners after the shows went out live.
Sure.
So something like that, I would want to promote maybe 2 or 3 months in advance.
Sure. That's no problem.
So we can have people. But in the meantime, I certainly want to have you on again before that. You've been a great guest. You've been articulate. You've been intelligent. Good Lord, I haven't felt the need to totally destroy you.
Right, man. That's awesome, man.
I'm just kidding. I have. No, I really haven't.
Okay.
I like what you said. Seriously, all kidding aside, you've been intelligent. You've been articulate. You've been a good guest. And I think it's pretty safe for me to say right now, to speak for my listeners, that they've enjoyed you. And would certainly want to have you on again, because I know
I. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Oh no, hey man, thank you so much, because I know you came on kind of at the last minute, you know. But good grief, thank you to my fiance Laura. God, I love that woman. She's amazing.
Thank you, Laura.
Hopefully
thank
she...
you, Laura.
Yes, thank you, Laura. Thank you, kitten. I love you. Yeah, I'm so glad she suggested you, and I'm so glad we became friends today. And it's a friendship I'm sure is going to last for at least a lunchtime for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Rick. I'll be getting a hold of you very soon. We're going to have you on again very, very quickly, because I've really enjoyed this time. It's been great, man. Thank you so much.
I enjoyed it too, brother. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you. You too.
I'll see you, man. You're welcome. Bye.
That was really cool, kids. I really enjoyed it. That was kind of like my first official psychic, I guess you'd say, or a seer, whichever term you care to use. Having Rick on has been a gas, and I want to do it again. I think there's a lot more we have to talk about. I always have more to talk about, well, because I'm a shameless attention whore. But I think you've all figured that out by now. But as it were, it's been a hoot being with you again this evening, boys and girls. And I say boys and girls because Karen Ann hates it when I say that. Karen Ann hates it when I say good night, boys and girls. And this is the primary reason I say it. Not the only reason. The number one reason I say it is because, well, back in the day, back in the 1960s and early 1970s, when my idol in life, the man I consider the greatest genius of all time, Frank Zappa, would often end shows with saying, "It's been lovely playing for you this evening. Good night, boys and girls." And that's what I'll say for now. Till next Monday, well, actually, until Wednesday, when you'll get to hear me again for another wonderful, rollicking teenage episode of Chalk Line of a Nation. That's right, kids. That crazy, goofy, teenage political show that we all love and listen to in our rock and roll bedrooms on Wednesday nights. I'll see you then. Right on, man. Power to the people. Bye.